the most important thing right now is eating the eggs, Benny.
If you're back-to-back serving clients all day, who the heck's running your business? What the heck is my job now?
You've got to be inspiring. And what is it that everyone, every organization, every business is spending billions of dollars trying to do for their staff? They're trying.
Sharing stories with your team could save you thousands of dollars. In fact, it's saving some companies billions. When we're sharing stories, our team is engaged, they're learning, and they're listening to every word that we're saying. I mean, it is why we read bedtime stories to our children, so they can learn. Not that I'm comparing our teams to children, but you get what I mean. So today I'm back with Joel, our bordering coach here at Salon Mastery, and we are talking through leading through stories, showing up and inspiring your team. This episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by the Salon Mastery Boardroom. So if you're a $1 million salon owner looking for an actionable roadmap to take your salon to the next level, to elevate, maybe 1 million, even 3 million, then the boardroom is the room for you. With weekly closed door conversations, easy to implement strategies, regular workshops, geared specifically to the problems and challenges of $1 million salons. Just click apply now in the show notes. Right, let's jump into our chat with Joel.
Joel, thank you so much for joining me again on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you back.
Yeah, so good to be here, Larissa.
So I thought it'd be really great to have you back and have a bit of a conversation about something that you and I face often, and that's a conversation from salon owners who really get the sense that they need to step back from serving clients, want to serve clients, but realize they need to run their business. Because if you're back-to-back serving clients all day, who the heck's running your business, right?
That's a great question.
But there's this fear that keeps coming up, and it's like, if I handle my clients to my team, I now have this fear that my team will leave me and then I'll lose my clients. They'll take my clients and then I don't have a business. And I really want to tackle this question because it feels like a big roadblock for a lot of owners to let go. And so I wanted to have this conversation today about how can I trust my team? How can I build a good relationship with my team so I don't feel held back in growth of my business by the fear of loss? I'm going to lose my clients. I'm going to lose my team. And also, if I hand over all my clients, what the heck is my job now?
Yes, that is a great question. What the heck is my job? I love that. And that's probably the one thing that actually prevents us from moving forward. So if we take a step back, for many of us as owners, we develop or build our reputation, our leadership, and our internal reputation with our team as well on the results that we cultivate. We do incredible skin consultation or incredible hair. Our team sees that. And our clients love that. And it's like, well, that's the formula, isn't it? That's the formula for engaging my people, for retaining clients, for retaining staff. And so why would I want to mess with that? I don't want to stop that. I don't want to mess with that at all. And it's good, but it's not great. It's useful, but it's not leverageable. And for many owners, we find ourselves in this situation a year, 3 years, 5 years in, and we know that the pathway forward is for us to actually work more on our business than being in it. But we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to, as you said, let go of the clients, hand them over. And even if we did do that, if we got the process on how to do that, then again, what is my role? What do I then do? So it is a real challenge.
It is. And we kind of instinctually know that I need to spend more time with my people, with my team, so they can serve the clients. But how do I do that? I'm really scared of Jemima. She's really like loud and speaks over me. And I've got all these personalities. It can be scary to step into the unknown, or I don't know what those things should be. So yes. I thought a great focus for this podcast, Joel, was like, how do we become a good leader? And how do we become an inspiring leader? Because it seems to me, if if we're going to pass all of the clients that we either have served ourselves or we're doing in our great marketing strategies, if we don't hand them over to our team, then there's my responsibility is like, how do I grow great team? And how do I not lose my team? What is it that we need to become if we're going to be that guy, if that's our new job now?
Well, that's, you nailed it, actually. You were talking about becoming an inspiring leader, and there's enough research out there now that points to the underlying desire for staff members is to work for, around, and with someone that is quote unquote inspiring. And that's maybe not something that you ever hear come out of your staff members' mouth, even if you interview them or you're doing your one-on-ones, but they do. They want to work for someone that's inspiring. And I think if we go back to you're inspiring because of the results that you produce for clients, so that's good. But to be truly inspiring, I think we need to go a step further than that. We need to not only engage our people, like engage them individually, but we also need to run the business. We need to show up in a way that has our staff going, oh, you know what? Larissa, she's really got this. She's really inspiring. She not only does good client work, but she's running the business. I feel like she's taking care of everything from the vision to the values and everything in between. And that's when we talk about being inspiring, what we're really talking about is the quality of the communication that an owner is able to deliver to their people.
And that kind of builds confidence, right? I'm confident that the person I'm working for has got this. I can see by the way that she speaks or the things that she talks about or the actions that she takes over the business. I feel confident in her leadership. Do you think that's a big piece?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about trust and just unpacking trust. What is it? It's confidence in the person that we're talking about, right? I am confident that Larissa, my boss, is going to behave in a way that is pro the business, that is pro looking after me, that is taking care of me, that she's got my back. That's what trust is. It's that underlying sense of confidence. And that's a good thing to check in on as owners and as leaders is, are my people confident in me? And that shouldn't be a heavy question. That should be a question that kind of prompts curiosity, you know? How am I doing? Are my people confident in me? Am I inspiring? And to answer that, we really have to go to the groundwork of how am I communicating?
Okay. So if communication is my goal, as I'm the business owner, I'm the leader, I know I need to improve my communication, even if it's good, we need to be better. What would be one thing that I could really focus on as a tactic or as a strategy that I can improve on to improve my communication so I become a more inspiring leader?
It's really good. I think just super high level is something that's helped me, and I know you're really familiar with this, Riss, and something that we talk about a lot in Seller Mastery and Boardroom, is that as a leader, as a communicator, we want to mix up our communication. And so we talk about tell, show, ask. And for a lot of leaders, particularly if you grew up with parents that maybe have been business owners before, like, we're really dominant in the tell mode. So we're, you know, this is how to do it. This is the way to go. You know, follow me this way. And if we can be a little bit more demonstrate and show and a little bit more ask, generally speaking, just at a high level, that's going to be really useful. So that's probably the first big idea, is mixing up your tell, show, and ask. Otherwise, you become one-dimensional. And the moment you open your mouth, your staff members start to go, I know exactly what's coming here. There's going to be 99% communication from Larissa. I don't actually have to respond because she never actually asks me any questions. She just tells me what to do. And that's dangerous, because then you're really predictable.
Hey there, dear listener. I wanted to jump in and interrupt just very quickly to say that my team and I are on a mission to elevate the industry. We want to change the perspective that we are a career for school dropouts who like painting nails and playing with hair, but they were actually business owners and CEOs. So I need your help to grow the reach of the Salon Owners Collective podcast so that more salon owners can learn how to change their life and improve their business through great strategies. No more 60 hours a week working too hard. All you need to do is make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, because when you do that, it pushes the algorithm out to more salon owners just like you. And together we can raise the profile and the perspective of the industry. All right, that's my ask. Back to the episode.
Yeah, but also the opposite, because I remember a time when I definitely was in ask mode due to lack of confidence as an early business owner. And I see this a lot with the owners that we work with too, Joel, is like, I don't have confidence to tell you, because actually you're older than me, or you've been team member, you're older than me, or you've been in the industry longer than me. And now I'm just asking my team, what do you think we should do, or giving them too much autonomy. So I think the balance, to your point, like we need to have a bit of all three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Then that is the balancing act.
Yes. 1000%. And one of the things that can help just being in the ask mode and kind of like, I'm asking because I don't know, or you're older, or you have had more experience front of house than I have, whatever the case may be, is instead of focusing on telling people what to do at an eye level, like nuts and bolts, like do this, don't do this. One of the things we can do is upgrade our communication and tell stories. And I say tell stories because telling stories allows people to find the meaning themselves in the story. And that's really powerful. It's really powerful. And it's the reason why we go to the movie store, we binge on Netflix, for example, when an uncle or an auntie stands up at a 50th or a 21st and starts telling a story, if they're good and they haven't had too much to drink, we lean forward, our pupils dilate, we engage our heart, we listen differently. The storyteller often, if not always, is inspiring. And this is advantage for small businesses, for salon owners that are trying to keep and contain and retain and engage their people telling stories.
Because the story gets to the bottom of like, why? Why do you want me to do it like this? Why should we care about this? Is that kind of why we need to, is that the why of the storytelling?
It is.
Like it's context.
You know that, I don't know if it's a saying or if it's wisdom, like, you can't change people. You can't tell people what to do anymore. But when they figure out the change for themselves, or they land on the here, the experience, the insight for themselves, man, you can't stop them. Like they are away, you know? And I think fundamentally, like if you're in a relationship or you've got kids or even just life experience, you realize that you can't change people. But what you can do is you can tell stories or give them metaphors so that they are allowed to experience the principle or the idea that you're fundamentally trying to walk them into. So can I give you an example of what I mean by
Please.
That?
Please, yeah.
So let's just say you've got a staff member and they're pretty fixed in their mindset. And scenario, circumstance, time after time, what tends to happen is they just can't see another perspective, whether it's a client's perspective. And it's kind of like you need an attitude adjustment. But you say that to them and it doesn't work. You know, you have a one-on-one and you try and do all the techniques and the tactics and they're just not getting it. So instead, what you can do is you sit them down and you tell them a story. And it might be a story at a team meeting. It might be you're going for a walk to get a coffee. Like it doesn't have to be like story time, like you're at school. But some of the
goodness.
What's that?
Phew. No, not story time.
Yeah, yeah.
School, but it's good.
But honestly, like if you think about like just brainstorm for a moment, some of the great leaders that you know or you've heard of, like they've probably told you a story or two in the past. And so let me tell you a real quick story. And just see if you can understand what I mean when I say give someone a story so they can find the meaning for themselves. So most Saturdays, me and my wife and our two kiddies, we find ourselves in the car traveling to a cafe. I don't know, maybe it's just the end of the week. we're kind of like done with the cooking. The cupboards are a little bit empty, and we head off to, in Wellington, Maranui Cafe. And it's one of my favorite cafes because the Eggs Benny there is outstanding. Like, if you're an Eggs Benny fan, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's just, they do the eggs perfect. The hollandaise is absolutely on point. I love the bread. It's an exciting time for Joel. So we get in the car, we're driving along, and I can't think of anything except for the Eggs Benny. We pull up to Maranui Cafe, and I'm about to jump out. Now, if you've been to Maranui Cafe before, there's these big glass panes on the front of the building, and the cafe's upstairs, and you know when it's busy at that cafe because there's people on the stairs. You know you're going to have to wait half an hour, 40 minutes, just to get to the front of the queue. So I jump out of the car, and my wife, Summer, she's sort of sitting there, and she's not budging. And I lean in, and I said, "Babe, Eggs Benny?" And she looks at me, and she says, "The queue." And I'm like, "But what about the Eggs Benny?" And she's like, "I don't know if I want to wait that long." And so what ends up happening is I get back in the car, we drive to a different cafe, and we jump into a different line, and we get some kind of like half-rate Eggs Benny. But the point of the story is that even though in that situation I was forced to kind of just follow the lead of my wife, people, me and you, all of us, we can shift our perspective. We can go from the most important thing right now is eating the Eggs Benny. We can shift to actually the most important thing right now is that we're all happy family and we're doing the same thing. And one of the things about leaders is we can get really stuck from this is the way it has to be to this is the way it has to be over here. And sometimes when we tell a story like that without even wrapping it up how I am now, allows the person to sit in that and go, oh, and find their own meaning and experience in the story. They'll pull out of it what they want. And through time, it can really help to accelerate inspiration because after that, people will make different decisions.
I like that because you're also letting go a little bit of what people extrapolate out of that story and what they take on in any given day, because learning or change, like layers of an onion, happen over time. We don't need to convince people to change their behavior today.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a high expectation. Actually let them take what they will for the next step in their own journey.
Yes.
And letting go of that, I think is a really important piece of becoming a better leader. I remember in the salon a period of time, or probably for a long period of time, when I held the weight of everybody's journey. Like I really held the weight that what would they learn in this session. We used to run weekly workshops about, you know, sales, better service, you know, better techniques, and the way that we consulted, all of those things. And I'd really hold on to the weight that people would take away exactly the way it was supposed to be. And it was a heavy weight to carry. And I realized that actually what was important for me is to teach the principles.
Yes.
And to teach it regularly so that each time that we ran the consultation workshop, which we did annually, they would just improve at each time and improve at each touch point. And so I just remember like my shoulders would drop. It's like I don't have to carry the weight of everybody. I'll do my part and then I just help them on their own journey. Does that make sense, Joel?
That's 100% it, because we often get so tied into the outcome of the session or the outcome of the story, or it has to be that someone walks away and goes, oh, I can totally shift and change my perspective. I've stood on stage before and told a story about my mum, and I've got an intention behind it. And afterwards, people have come up to me and they've shared feedback with me about what it meant to them. And it was way different to my intention.
Totally.
But here's the thing, they win. Because they get so much out of it for themselves. And guess what? They also think that I'm awesome. Like I'm inspiring, right? And so maybe there's a little bit of a shift. Like you obviously want to go into things with an intent and you really want to grow people in a particular way. But sometimes the best thing that we can do is realize that it's enough to create insights for people, because that's a beautiful way to do work where people have insights. And also, byproduct, you come off as inspiring. Like that is engagement 101. You've got to be inspiring. And what is it that everyone, every organization, every business is spending billions of dollars trying to do for their staff. They're trying to engage them.
Stories seem to be free. They need to spend billions of dollars.
Yeah, just tell stories.
Just tell stories.
Now,
all right.
Can I just, I don't want to leave people hanging because they'll be like, okay, cool, this sounds good, Joel, but like, how do I tell stories? Like, make no mistake that you have at least 20 stories that could change people's lives. And maybe that's not the goal, but certainly those 20 stories will inspire people. And at the right time, they're going to be really bloody useful. And if you haven't mined them out of your brain, if you haven't pulled them out, if you haven't captured them, then they're not available to you. And you can't be that inspiring leader. So my encouragement, Larissa, would be just to, you know, plan some time in your schedule, 20 minutes, half an hour, and go, what are my stories from my life? That's what you want, is your stories from your life. And some of them will be difficult, challenging stories where you've been at the effective stuff, you've been in the valley. Some of them will be mountaintop moments, but you need them so you can access them.
And I have discovered from my own journey, the more I talk about them, the better my stories get, because they become more refined. I get feedback and I go, oh no, that's actually not what I was intending to communicate. So I shift my story slightly and I become a better storyteller because you tell it over time, multiple times. Yeah. It's like, I remember in the salon when I was getting married and I was still serving clients one day a week. And so for 7 appointments in a row, I told the same freaking story about the wedding and what the dress was and yada, yada, you know what it's like. And by the end of it, by the time you get to the wedding, like, your story is pretty tight. You can say exactly, this is what it is. And it's same for those inspiring moments or those change moments or the why moments or why we do it like this, because when I was young and then I was inspired. Mm. And those stories will get better over time. So just start telling them, even if they're lumpy. That's what I think.
Yes, I 100% agree. I had a boss for 10 years and we used to laugh and talk about him behind his back, but in a really positive way. It's like, roll our eyes, like, here comes that story again, you know?
Yeah.
He told it, but I swear, I'll never forget it. I will never forget the stories that he told us, the stuff that he said, some of the sessions that he ran, probably really powerful, but it's the stories I remember, because stories allow us to connect in our own way and take our own meaning from that byproduct. You become an inspiring leader.
And actually, what I also observe is if you've got good, meaningful stories that actually move people, it starts to become part of their story. And when you start to hear your people that are close to you repeating your stories or their own version, and that's like, okay, I'm making a difference in people's lives. That's a good way to go, yeah, I'm being a good leader. I'm doing something right here.
Yes. So 3 stories that you can tell. And the first one, story about yourself doing really, really well. Know those, but don't tell them. Like, especially if you're from New Zealand or Australia, like, it's just, we don't really, it's a cool poppy thing, right? We don't really go, oh, you're amazing, Joel, I'm so inspired by you. Just keep those ones for, I don't know, your mates when you want to be given shit afterwards. The second one is like when you've been in the valley and you have dragged your ass through some difficult stuff. And on the other side of that, you've learned a lesson. Like, you are in the, you know, you're stepping back and going, this is what I learned. But not from a place of authority, like you should not too, but like, I'm so glad I got that lesson. Like, my life is better because of it. You know, it's that place. And the third story is telling the success story of others. So let me tell you about my friend named Larissa. Man, and then da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, wow, and put her up on the pedestal, edify her, and it's kind of like an inspiring way of inspiring people without talking about yourself.
Yeah, and you'll have team members in your salon that are doing really well that you can shine a spotlight on, and they can share, and you can lead them through their own story and sharing, like, what an amazing environment to be around when everybody gets to share their wins.
Yes, so good. Love that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Joel, let's recap. If we want to be able to grow our business, then we really need to remove one of the major roadblocks, and that is if you're busy behind the chair because you're too scared to give your clients away, you're really unclear or fearful about what that means for you as a human. How do I identify myself now? What is my job and what do I even do? How do I become an inspiring leader? Then number one, we have to become inspiring. And one of those great ways is telling stories. But I really love that you kind of wrapped up with, it's not about stories of self and how wonderful I am, because nobody actually wants to listen to those. I find those really hard to talk about in any case. But it's the stories of overcoming adversity when times are really tough, deep in the valley, as you say, and what was the lesson learned? And also shining a light on others and success of others are really great ways to refine and work on your stories.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it.
Amazing. Well, thank you once again for joining me on the podcast, Joel. And for those of you who are on a bit of a mission, we're on a theme at the moment of becoming a better boss. I want to remind you, one of the great tools, in addition to being a great storyteller, is asking your team 5 really important questions so you get some good insight and have some confidence to become a better leader. I'm going to put the link to that resource, the 5 questions, how to ask them, in the show notes of this episode. Joel, thanks again. It's been a goodie.
Thanks so much, Riz.
Thanks, Joel. Really appreciate you coming back on the podcast yet again. He does tell great stories, don't you agree? And I hope you feel a little bit inspired to start sharing stories with your team. Now, remember, you don't need to think of a whole novel. That's not the point. Just a few key stories that could help you build trust with them, re-inspire them, help them learn, ultimately. Like Joel said, you have 20 stories hiding in your brain that could actually change the lives of your team. Right, remember, I really want to ask a favor. Please, will you click the subscribe button to this podcast? Most of the people that listen to this podcast don't necessarily subscribe. And it means if you do, that this podcast will reach more people in our industry. You'll help us reach the goal of elevating the industry, $1 million salon at a time. All right, remember to click the button. Ciao for now. Same time, same place next week.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.